It's been so long since I was here. When we planned this baptismal service, we know that it needed to be on June 18th. And there's nothing wrong with having a baptismal service on June 18th, but June 18th happens to be Father's Day. And so I had a big choice I needed to make. Do I speak on fathers in honor of Father's Day, or do I speak on baptism in honor of those who are being baptized? In our staff meeting, I joked that I would do both. I would do a baptismal Father's Day message. And then a little later, I decided it doesn't have to be a joke. I believe that God's Word speaks to every situation in which we could ever find ourselves, even baptizing people on Father's Day. So I had to come up with a text that would speak to both baptism and Father's Day, and I came up with a text, and this text, at least at surface value, you might think really has nothing to do with either baptism or fathers, but it does. It's John chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. We know this passage as the Lord's Prayer. And what's significant about the Lord's Prayer is that every prayer Jesus prayed, he prayed about the things that really matter to God. Every prayer he prayed about the things that God truly values. And so we know that this prayer represents what God the Father values. So why did I choose this text? Because when we know what it is that God values, we can better understand baptism. And fathers, what God values ought to be what we value. It ought to become the example for our life. And so if you still don't understand how this relates to fathers and baptism, I hope that you will as we get into the text. But our text, once again, is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. But before we go any further, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take this word, the word that you inspired Matthew to write, and use it to speak to us today. And I pray that you would speak to us about baptism and speak to those who are being baptized today. And I pray that you would also speak to all of us who are fathers about what you have called us to be and do. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this prayer, the first request that Jesus makes is this. He prays, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." First, this prayer teaches us that our Heavenly Father is the kind of Father who cares about being respected. He cares about being respected. Hallowing God's name is respecting God's name, and to respect God's name is to respect God. And we fathers, we understand the importance of respect. There is something in us that craves respect. And the Bible recognizes this. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says this, "Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." The Holy Spirit understands what wives and husbands really need. Wives need love. They also deserve respect, but they need love. And we who are fathers, we need respect. We need love too, but we especially need respect. Now, it's good that we fathers want to be respected, but it's bad when we try to force our families to respect us. The best way for us to show our family how to respect us is to let our family members see us giving respect to those to whom respect is due. And there is no one in all of life who deserves respect more than God. There was in the 19th century, a young Jewish boy who lived in Germany. And his whole family life revolved around their faith. They were regularly at the synagogue for all the synagogue services, and they regularly took part in the activities of the Jewish community. But when the boy became a teenager, his father moved them to another city in Europe. They left Germany and they went to England. And when they got to England, when they got to their new city, the father decided that they wouldn't attend the synagogue anymore. Instead, he took his family to a very fashionable Lutheran church. And this young boy did not understand that. And so he said to his father, "I don't understand. We are not Lutherans, we're Jews. Why are we attending a Lutheran church?" And his father said, "Because at this church, I can make some good business contacts, and we can rub shoulders with the right kind of people." This young man later said that that was the moment in his life when he lost all respect for his father. He never attended the Lutheran church. Instead, he went and spent his days at the British Museum. And there at the British Museum, he wrote a book in which he imagined a movement which would set people free from what he called the problem of religion. That man was Karl Marx. And his lack of respect for God began when he lost respect for his father. And he lost respect for his father when his father stopped respecting God. Fathers, we need to show our families how to respect God. But respect is also important to the baptismal service, because when a person decides to get baptized, everybody wants to know why. Why are you doing it? Why are you choosing to be baptized? And there are many reasons to be baptized, and some are deeply theological, but the fact of the matter is there is no better reason to be baptized than the desire to obey God's commands. Because the last commandment that the Lord Jesus gave the church in the Gospel of Matthew before he left the world, the last commandment in Matthew he gives the church is this, Matthew 28:19. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus commands us to make disciples, and he commands that we baptize those disciples. Now, it's hard to be baptized. Most of you today remember your baptism. It's hard to stand in front of a group of people and be dunked underwater and be the only one who's soaking wet and everybody else is cozy and dry. It's not easy to be baptized. But how can we say we respect God if we are not willing to obey his commands? Father's Day and baptism are both about respect for God. Fathers, we need to teach our families to respect God, and baptism is about showing respect to God by obeying his commands. And then the second request Jesus makes is this. He says, "Your kingdom come." Our Heavenly Father is the kind of father who wants to see his kingdom advance. Now, the kingdom of God is made up of people all over this earth who follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so, to advance the kingdom of God is to tell people about Jesus. And as people make the decision to follow Jesus, then the kingdom of God advances. Fathers, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be doing the work of the kingdom of God. And our families need to see us doing that kingdom work. In his book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby says this, "A person who claims to follow God cannot continue life as usual or stay where they are and go with God at the same time." Fathers, that speaks to us. Our life can't only be about putting a roof over our family's heads and putting bread on the table. If that's all we're doing, then we're only involved in life as usual. But when we share with other people about Jesus, when we do the work of the kingdom, when we work and dedicate our lives to seeing to it that more people can come to know Jesus Christ, that is not life as usual. And when you get baptized, when you're dunked under the water, that is as far from life as usual as you can possibly get. And when you get baptized, you are a visible picture of the fact that the kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is growing. And so, fathers, when we do the work of the kingdom, it advances the kingdom. And when new believers are baptized, it shows everyone in the church that the kingdom is advancing. That's why everybody loves a baptismal service, because it's evidence to us that the kingdom of God is going forward. And that is what God the Father wants. That is what God wants. And then the third request Jesus makes is this: your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Heavenly Father is the kind of Father who has a plan for us, and He wants us to follow His plan. And when people are baptized, they stand before the church and they say, I believe God is real, I believe He has a plan for my life, and I want to follow that plan. I want God's plan to be done in me. And fathers, we can demonstrate that same attitude in the way we make decisions for our family. When we make decisions for our family, do we make those decisions based only on our career, our job, our salary, our standard of living? Or do we take into account, when we're making important decisions, do we take the kingdom of God into account? Do we ask, what kind of impact will this have on my work for the kingdom of God? Will it make it easier for me to serve God in the way He's called me to? Or will it make it more difficult for me to serve God? In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis said this: our choices either cause us to change, to grow, to transform, or they cause us to stay exactly where we are. We are either moving toward joy and peace and knowledge and power, or we are moving toward madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, our eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing toward one state or the other. We are either moving towards God, or we are moving away from God. And the point is, fathers, when we have those decisions to make with our family, do we make those decisions based only on our desire, only on our want, only on our ego and our pride? Or do we show our children that it's the kingdom of God that really matters to us? And so when we make a decision, we're going to take into effect what will be the greatest blessing to the kingdom of God and what will possibly bring more people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. People who are baptized are publicly saying yes to God's plan for their life. And fathers, when we show our children how important the kingdom of God is by making our decisions and taking into consideration what they will mean for our kingdom work, when we do that, we show our children how important God's kingdom plan is. Baptism and Father's Day are both about putting God's kingdom plan at work in our life. And then the fourth request Jesus makes is this. He says, give us today our daily bread. Our Heavenly Father is the kind of Father who wants us to see Him as our provider. Jesus reminds us here that it is God the Father who provides for the needs of His children. Now, fathers, I know that we do that. And we feel that we do a pretty good job of doing that, providing for the needs of our children, providing for our family. But have we forgotten that every good thing we give to our family was first given to us by God? And that's what God's word says. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Fathers, our ability to provide for our family's needs is not guaranteed. The economy may collapse. We might get sick. We might lose our job. We might even die. But the Bible says God is the Father of all light, and no darkness, no economic downturn, no unforeseen circumstance can keep Him from providing for His children. Fathers, we may work hard, but it's God who gives us the strength. God is the true provider for our family. And just as we fathers shouldn't pat ourselves on the back too much about providing for the needs of our family, so also you who are being baptized today, you need to understand that you did not bring yourselves to this point. We thank God for your courage. We thank God for your courage in following Jesus. And we thank God for your courage in choosing to be baptized this day. But it wasn't your courage that brought you to this place. Listen to what Jesus says in John 6:44. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Yes, you responded to God's call. But you could not have done that if God had not given you that call in the first place. Even when it comes to baptism, God is the one who provides. He provided that call. He called you to follow Jesus, and he calls you to be baptized. And so, fathers, we need to understand, God is the one who really provides. He's the one who gives the cars, the house, the groceries, the college education. God is the one who provides. And in baptism, God is the one who provides by sending his son to die for us, by calling us to have faith in his son, and then by calling us to be baptized. God is the provider. And then the fifth request Jesus makes is this. He says, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." And so the fifth thing this passage teaches us is that our Heavenly Father is the kind of Father who wants to multiply forgiveness. Fathers, God not only wants us to receive his forgiveness for us, but he wants us to take that forgiveness and spread it around. And so, fathers, I need to ask you this morning, do we forgive freely? Do we forgive freely? Or do we make our families earn it? Do we make our families jump through hoops? Do we make our families perform before we are willing to grant forgiveness to them? God wants to multiply forgiveness, and that's why he taught us to pray this way. Listen to how Jesus teaches us to pray. "Forgive us our sins as." Do you know what the word "as" means? It means to the extent that. Jesus teaches us to pray, "God, forgive us our sins to the extent that we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." Do you understand what this is saying? How willing we are to forgive our spouse, how willing we are to forgive our children is exactly how willing God will be to forgive us when we call on him. If that's not a great reason for practicing forgiveness, I don't know what is. But when we refuse to forgive, no matter how great our excuse is, when we refuse to forgive, we are slandering the name of God because we call ourselves by his name. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves followers of Christ. And so when we refuse to forgive, we are saying that Jesus Christ is one who refuses to forgive. But you see, he is not like that. Jesus teaches us that God the Father is one who runs to forgive the prodigal. He is one who runs to accept him back. And the Bible says God loves us so much and so much wants to provide forgiveness that he sent his son to experience an excruciating, humiliating, agonizing death on the cross so that we could forgive, so that we can multiply forgiveness. And that's what baptism does. When you're baptized and you stand in front of a congregation and you talk about your life in the past and you say, "There was a time when I didn't care what God said in his word. There was a time when I did not obey his commandments. I violated his commandments. I didn't do what he said. There was a time when I lived only for myself. There was a time when I hurt other people. There was a time when I did shameful and horrible things. But now, because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, I know that all of those things have been washed away. I know that I am forgiven, and I know that there's nothing that stands between God and me." When you stand up and you say that, the people in a congregation like this who do not yet know Jesus, they learn how they can be forgiven. And so through your testimony, God can bring forgiveness to the life of a person, and you can multiply God's forgiveness. Fathers, and you who are being baptized, we have a call on our life to multiply forgiveness. We are called to multiply forgiveness, not to restrict it, not to qualify it, not to limit it, not to say yes, but we have a call to multiply forgiveness. And then the last request Jesus makes is this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This shows us that our Heavenly Father is the kind of Father who gives us victory over evil. Fathers, this world is filled with evil, and we need to teach our children how to pray against and how to stand against that evil. A few years ago, I saw a documentary, a PBS documentary, on Jim Jones and the many families who followed him to Guyana. And in this documentary, you can see mothers giving poisoned Kool-Aid to their children, giving to their own children the instrument of their death. How anyone can see that, how anyone can know that these things happen and still doubt the existence of the power of spiritual evil in this world, I do not understand. But all the while, these mothers were giving poison to their children. You can hear the voice of Jim Jones over the PA system of the camp, imploring the people to listen to him and to obey him. And you know what is really almost beyond belief is that these poor followers who died, men, women, and children, these poor followers who died following Jim Jones called this demon-possessed child of hell Father. They called him Father. I don't know the family background of those poor families who did follow him, but I wouldn't be surprised to learn that they all had one thing in common. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that they all grew up in families where they did not have a father who taught them how to recognize and stand against the power of evil. Because if they'd had a father like that, I believe the first time they heard Jim Jones get up and claim to be God, they would have gotten up and walked out. But sadly, these people did not have a father like that. Fathers, we're called to teach our children how to stand against evil. We have a calling to help our children know how to stand against the power of evil and how to pray against the power of evil. And baptism is a great help in this regard. I've used this story before, but I want to share it again because I think it's very important. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, said that he was always being accused by the adversary. Now, you may know that the Bible gives several words for our spiritual enemy. He is called the adversary. He's called the devil. He's also called Satan. The word Satan means the accuser. And Luther said that he was constantly being accused by the evil one. And the evil one would say to him, Martin, you're a fraud. You're a fake. You're a phony. You're not a real Christian. You're not a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. And Luther said this accusation came constantly until he finally learned how he could make the accuser shut up. And he said, I learned to do this. Whenever the accuser said to me, you're a fraud, you're a fake, he said, I said these words, no, I am not a fake. I am a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, and I know that's true because I have been baptized. I stood in front of a group of people, and I confessed that my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, and He is the one who cleanses me of all sin. He is the one who makes me acceptable to God. And the Bible says that at the very moment that I confessed publicly that I belong to Jesus, at that very moment, Jesus himself in heaven confessed to God the Father that I belong to him. At that very moment that I confessed Jesus at my baptism, Jesus confessed to God the Father that I am a genuine Christian. I belong to him. Our baptism can help us in standing against the evil one. It can help us stand against the accusations of the evil one. And fathers, we can teach our children to look to the Heavenly Father rather than looking to some other false father. Fathers and those who are being baptized, we have a calling. Our calling is to stand against the power of the evil one. And so, the Lord's Prayer helps us understand what it is that God values. And when we understand what God values, we understand why baptism is so important. And fathers, when we understand what God values, we have a standard for our life. We know what we're called to do. We know how we're called to live. It's all found in God's Word. God's Word speaks to every situation we could ever encounter, even baptizing people on Father's Day. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, I pray for our fathers today that you'd help us to respond in accordance with this word that we've already heard, the Lord's Prayer. Help us to value what you value, and help us to seek what you seek, and help us to stand for what you stand. Oh Lord, help us as fathers. And then I pray for those being baptized today that they would understand that this is a very significant moment in their life. And this is a time they can look back on for the rest of their life and say, that was that moment when I publicly confessed that I belong to Jesus Christ, that I'm trusting in him. And I know that at that very moment that I made that confession, Jesus confessed to God the Father that I belong to him. And so I know that I belong to Jesus. Lord God, may our fathers and those who are being baptized, Lord, may we hear your word and may we respond with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.